Kutvach, everyone. We're going to Chazer. Welcome Torah Anytime. So this past week we learned Simon Reish Yud Gimel through Reish Tezayin Sif Beis. So let's start from Reish Yud Gimel. Reish Yud Gimel discussed the halacha Mishe Yatza in Maitzi Acherim, someone who was Yatza Abracha, if he could be Maitzi others with the Bracha. So that's the general title of the Simon, but it's not what Sif Aleph really discusses. Sif Aleph discusses in general if one could be mighty someone else with a bracha rishayna or a bracha achrayna, when the person that being mighty is also eating. If the person being mighty is not eating, that's going to be sif beis. If the person being mighty is also eating, can he be mighty others? And the maskana of the sif, of sif aleph, is that although, albeit that there is a reason, lehalacha, that one person should make a bracha for everyone else, whether it's a on peiros or on yayin or on lechem, and the reason is b'roiv am hadras melech. There's a maila for one person to make the bracha for everyone else. However, these days is not generally the minog, and the reason for that can be because when it comes to peiros and yayin, we don't really have a kvius which connects us together so that one can be made to the others, and even by bread, because many times people don't know how to have the proper intent to be mighty or to be yaitze, and therefore the minig is that everyone always just makes their own brachas. The exception would be when it comes to Shabbos or Yontif, by a Shabbos Suda or Yontif Suda, there we have usually the minig is that one person makes a bracha for everyone, and that is what's done. When it comes to bracha achreina, there, even by benching, we generally always make it ourselves, and for sure, with other bracha achrayinas, it's lechatchila for everyone to make it themselves. However, b'di'eved, bein bracha rishayna, bein bracha achrayna, if one person says the bracha and has in mind to be mighty others, and the other people listen and they have in mind to be yotze, it does work b'di'eved, and you could be yotze. It is lechatchila, everyone who is being yotze should be sitting down, so too by a Shabbos Suda, when the person makes a mighty lechatchila, everyone should be sitting down, but even if people are standing up, as long as you heard it and you had the proper intent, everyone is yotze. Siv Beis says, "Ein hamavarech mitzi acherim elam kein yechal v'yishti iman." Now, there's a difference between birchas hanenin and birchas hamitzvos. When it comes to birchas hamitzvos, we say kol yisrael areivin ze bezeh. Even if I'm not mechuyev in a particular mitzvah, I can be mitzi you, since I'm kol yisrael areivin ze bezeh, and that connects us. I can be mitzi you even though I'm not mechuyev. However, birchas hanenin, there we have a svara. Since I'm not mechuyev and you're not mechuyev to eat either, so there is no chiyev over here. Therefore, we can't say kol yisrael areivim for me to be mitzi you with a berachas hananin. By berachas hamitzvos, your chiyev that you have, I can tap into that because kol yisrael areivim zeh bezeh, and I could be mitzi you even though I'm not mechuyev. By berachas hananin, where even you don't have a chiyev, so there I cannot be mitzi you if I'm not going to eat. And therefore, the only time I could be made to you with a bracha is if I'm also eating. If I make a bracha and then I drop the food and it gets ruined and I can't end up eating, then it still works since my bracha was not levatala. If I make a bracha levatala, I make a shahakal and I'm not eating anything, then it can't work to be made to you. If I make a shahakal, I plan on eating something and then I plan on taking a drink, it spills out of my hand and the drink is gone, then it will still work for you because it was not a bracha levatala. Now, when I'm being made to you, it's a chatchila that you should answer amen to my bracha. The Mechaber in Sif Gimel says, "Ein yotzi yedecha yvasa b'shmiyas habracha, afilu yana amen." And that's the next part, that besides the fact that chatchila you should answer amen, also you have to make sure to hear the entire bracha. Elam kein sheshama mitchilasa v'ad seifa, v'nischavin latzis b'yedecha yvasa. You had to have in mind to be yotze, I had to have in mind to be made to you, and you had to hear the entire thing from beginning to end. Therefore, when someone's being made to someone else with a bracha, one should be careful to say it slowly and clearly so that the other person can hear all of the words that you say. That was Simon Reishit Gimel. Reishit Dalad was that every bracha has to have a Shemu Malchus in it. Shem means Hashem's name. Malchus is Melech HaOlam. If someone says the word HaMelech instead of Melech HaOlam, that could be with work or also in place of Malchus. If someone skips out the Shem or the Malchus of the bracha is not going to be a good bracha, it's going to be a bracha levatala. Simon Reish Tezvav discussed answering Amen after a bracha. And over there, the Mechaber and Sif Aleph brought down, Ein Oina Amen Acher Berchaysav. You don't answer Amen after your own brachas, unless it's a group of two or more. It's a series of brachas. Then you answer Amen at the end of the series. The Ramah Paskin, that these days we don't do that. The only time we do it is after Bani Yushalayim and Berchas Hamazon, which is the end of the Brachas De'araisa. There we say Amen, and someone who's listening to that bracha of Bani Yushalayim, the people listening answer Amen after Bani Verachma of Yushalayim. Then they answer Amen, because the person who's saying the bracha, he's also answering Amen to his own bracha. There's no reason to say Amen after his Amen. You're saying Amen together with him. As opposed to, let's say, by Kadesh, there we say Ve'imru Amen, so there we answer Amen after the Chazan says Amen, because he's telling us Ve'imru Amen, and you should say Amen, so we say Amen after he tells us to say Amen. As opposed to Boini Barachim of Yushalayim, that's the end of the bracha. It happens to be the person making the bracha also says Amen, so we say Amen together. Boini Barachim of Yushalayim, and we all say Amen together there. We don't say Amen after his Amen. That is Sif Aleph. Sif Beis says someone who hears a bracha from another yid, but he did not hear the entire bracha, still you can answer Amen. So you're not only can you answer, the Mechaber says you're chayiv la'anes acher of Amen. If you hear a bracha, even though you did not hear the entire thing, you are chayiv to answer Amen. Now, even though it says you're chayiv to answer Amen when someone else makes a bracha, there is an exception if you're learning or you're davening. The Bechacher says, you're not mechuyiv al-isiv g'mitzvah patim in a mitzvah, although he does end off tzarech iyan, but Rav Shevet Alevi or Vosner writes that if someone's learning and it's going to be mevatlin from his learning, or someone is davening, they're not mechuyiv to answer Amen, and this is very common, because a person can be learning before Shacharis, and someone will come by and start saying the Berchta Shachar out loud, and it'd be very disturbing if you have to answer Amen to all of his brachas. So over there we say, Eisiv mitzvah patim in a mitzvah, you're not mechuyev to answer Amen. However, if you're just hanging around, you know, midday at the table, and someone comes makes a bracha, you are mechuyev to answer Amen to his bracha. Now, the Mishnah Berurah says, how much of the bracha do you have to hear in order to be mechuyev to answer Amen, or have the right to answer Amen even? And he brings down the Mishnah Berurah, Tzivka and Vav. If you only hear the shame, the seif ha-bracha, you're chayef to answer Amen. The yesh paiskim, even if you don't hear the shame, all you hear is a seif ha-bracha, then you'd be mechuyev to answer Amen. The Bir Halacha speaks out, and there it seems clear in the Bir Halacha that even if you don't hear any part of the bracha, but you know that a bracha was just said, and you know what the bracha was, like it was in the big shul in Alexandria, where someone would wave a sudr to let people know that the chazan just finished the bracha. Similar idea they have in the shul, the bells of shul in Yerushalayim, the big shul on Shabbos. It's hard to hear always the chazan. They have someone with a whip. He whips the pillow so you can hear, and if you're following along, you know where they're holding. Then you're allowed to answer Amen also. Being that that's the case, there's a discussion in the Pesachim, what if I hear a bracha on a microphone or on a telephone, can I answer Amen? Am I mechuyev to answer Amen? And in general, once we're on the topic, can I be yaitze mitzvahs? Can I be yaitze megillah or havdalah over a telephone or over a microphone? Or for that case, zimun. Can I do zimun over a microphone? And this is a discussion that we had. And the shita of Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach is that a microphone or a telephone is essentially worthless, because you're not hearing the voice of the person who is speaking. It goes into a machine and it comes out. It's something else. And you cannot be yaitze any mitzvah over a microphone or a telephone, according to Rav Shlomo Zalman. However, if you're in a room, in the same room as someone, and they make a bracha on a microphone, you can answer Amen, because it's like Garav from Alexandria. It's like Garav from the big shul. I'm in the same room with you, and that makes us all mishtayach to the same situation. And since I know what bracha you're making, I can answer Amen. Now, I can't be yaitze with you, but I can answer Amen. That's Rav Shlomo Zalman's opinion. Rav Moshe in the tshuva, he has two tshuvas about it. He seems misvara, more noted to say that hearing someone's voice over a telephone or a microphone is considered hearing his voice. Rav Moshe says that whenever someone speaks, it creates waves, and there's even a delay before it hits the next person, before he hears it. If you're in a very large room, sometimes if you're in a shul that has a very long room with a low ceiling, if you listen carefully, the people in the back and the people in the front are at different parts of the song that the chazan is singing, and it sounds awful. What's the pshat? Because by the time the people in the back hear the voice of the chazan, people in the front heard it a little bit before. There's a small delay. That small delay creates a difference. Zechariah Moshe, sound audio is always just waves coming from your voice. So why would it make a difference if the waves go into a machine and that machine creates new waves? But it's all your voice that's traveling and getting to the next person. Granted, it's no longer the exact waves that came out of your voice continuing to travel, but it's just a matter of you produced sound from yourself and it went and reached another person, even if it needed the help of a telephone or a microphone. And that's where Moshe is noted to say. However, Moshe says he does not want to be mechadish chadashos, and it's not borer lahatir, and therefore he suggested not to be yotze megillah with a microphone, and therefore he suggested not to be yotze havdalah with a microphone. However, he says, if that's the best a person can do, is that or nothing, it's definitely better than nothing, and if someone does hear a bracha over the telephone, they should answer amen. Moshe says, misafik, maybe it's something, and outside that it's something, you may as well answer amen misafik, even though it's not, definitely not lechatchila ever to be yaitu something over a telephone or a microphone, even according to Ramosha. It's just a matter of if there's no other option available, then he would say he is noita that it would work. For example, during COVID, someone's in the hospital and the only way to hear Abdullah would be over the phone. It's definitely better than nothing, and according to Ramosha, one should do that. That was the beginning of Siv Beis, and the second part of Siv Beis was that if someone is, well, first of all, where do we know that you're chayiv la'anes amen? When you hear a bracha, the Medrash says, because it says, not the Medrash, the Gemara in Yuma, it says, Kishem Hashem Ekor Hava Goydel Elekenu Amar Lehen Moshe Li Yisrael. When I make a bracha, Kshani Mevarech U'masker, Shem Hashem Yisbarach, Atam Hava Goydel Elekenu Banias Amen. When I make a bracha, say amen. Second part of the Siv said, if the Mevarech wasn't Apikiris, or a Kuti, or a child that's doing it le'islami, doing it to learn, or a gadol, and he made the bracha improperly, where it's a bracha levatala, we don't answer amen, which means we do not answer amen to a bracha levatala. However, a goy makes a bracha, the Rama says, then if we hear the entire bracha, we do answer amen, because a goy, when he says Hashem's name, generally his intent is to Hashem, not to his getchka. However, an apikiris over there, even if we hear the whole bracha, the pashas of the mechaber is mashma, that we're choshed, he has in mind to the wrong thing, not to Hashem. So to Akuti, he has in mind to Hargrizim, even if we hear the entire bracha. The Vilna Goyin argued, the Vilna Goyin said, if you hear an entire bracha, even an Apikiris or Akuti, you can answer Amen to their brachas. When it comes to a Tinek Le'islam, it is clearly a bracha Levatala. He's just learning how to make a bracha. Or a Gadol who made a bracha improperly is clearly Levatala, that you can never answer Amen. However, an Apikiris or Akuti, over there is Machlekes, the Machaber is Mashma, that one should not, even if they hear the whole bracha. However, the Goyin says that you could, or you should, you could. I'm not sure if you could or should, but you definitely can. And to Amin, if you hear the entire bracha, the Shita of the Vilna Goyin. Or Moshe had a tshuva where he was asked, what about a reform rabbi? Can you answer Amin to his bracha? Or Moshe over there wrote that, no, you cannot. Do not allow him to make a bracha. Do not answer his brachas. And it's apparent from Moshe's tshuva, he held that the reform is even worse than an apikiris, because an apikiris, the Vilna Goyin says, if you hear the entire bracha, you can say amen. Ramosha held an apikiris, even if you hear the entire bracha, a reform rabbi, even if you hear the entire bracha, you cannot answer amen. They say it's because the reform do not believe in Kabbalah's Torah Misinai. I don't know exactly what the status of an apikiris is, or what they do believe or don't believe, like upon him. That's where Ramosha wrote in the tshuva, that a reform rabbi, you should not answer amen to his brachas. When it comes to a goy, if he hear the entire bracha from a goy, you're not mechuyif to answer his bracha. The Taz says you have reshus to answer amen to his bracha. The next halacha was of gimel, that we don't answer amen after a tinek that's learning from his rebbe, which means the rebbe has a right to teach the child with Hashem's name. He has the right to teach the child with Hashem's name, and the reason for that is if he does not teach him properly with Hashem's name, eventually the child's going to make a mistake and not say the Shem Hashem when he's making the bracha. Like we find with bar mitzvah brachim, sometimes they'll say baruch hu es Hashem ha-mevarach. They won't actually say Hashem's name. That's why we can teach them with the Shem Hashem. However, we don't answer amen to that bracha, because it's definitely not a real bracha. Even children that are below the age of chinuch, it's a shaila, if we answer amen to that bracha, the Shem Zama would say amei without the nun. Reb Chaim Kanievsky's Zatzal held you could answer amen to the bracha of a tinek under the age of chinuch, because you're not saying amen mitereschi, if you're just saying it also in the way of chinuch, and that's where Reb Chaim held you could answer amen to his bracha. Once we were on the topic of teaching the children with the Shem Hashem, so over there, The Yavid said, you bedakla should teach them with the Shem Hashem. Otherwise, you're stopping mid pasuk where Moshe didn't stop. Anywhere Moshe did not make a hefsek and not allowed to make a stop. And if you're going to say a pasuk and say Hashem instead of saying the proper name, you're technically making a hefsek mid pasuk. And that's why the Yavid said you should teach with the Shem Hashem. And once we're on that topic, we discussed in Zmiris, one should be careful. There are some people who I've heard where they don't say the Shem Hashem when they sing these mirrors because they're concerned that they're going to make a mistake and they're going to speak out and not finish off the Pasuk. And this is something which the Mishnah Berurah said also, that when we teach the Gedolim, Gemara, even Katan Gemara over there, we don't say Shem Hashem. And it could be for that reason, we're nervous that you're going to make a hefstick in the middle, you're going to speak out. So too, when it comes to mirrors, there are many people that won't say Hashem's name. And some people will say Hashem's name, and they'll be careful not to make a hefstick, not to speak out in the middle of the mirrors. We pointed out, though, that in the Zemer of Yom Zemer Chubad, over there, there's a common mistake because it's really both tunes. I thought it was one. It's both of the classic tunes of Yom Zemer Chubad. We say Hashem's name and we repeat it. And one should not do that because if you're going to repeat Hashem's name, that is definitely just saying Hashem's name in vain. Right? We say in the tune of Shei Shesh Yom Tas Menachtecha, V'yoy Mashvi Lei Lekecha, Lei Lekecha. That's one tune where we repeat it twice. And the other tune is again, we said Hashem's name twice in both of those tunes. So, Mamela, one should be careful with that, not to say Hashem's name in vain. Sif Dala discussed Brach Shin Etricha is Noisei Shem Shemayim Lashav. According to the Mechaber, which is Shittas HaRambam, if you make a Brach Shin Etricha, which means in the middle of a Suda, you make a Bracha on a food which does not require a Bracha, or you're about to start a meal and there's no particular reason why you want to eat the food before the meal and you go ahead and make a bracha on that, and it could be a bracha shenetricha. According to the Rambam, you're over a lav, loisisa, lav of loisisa. There are others that argue and say, since your intent was a shevach v'haidah, it's not a lav of loisisa, there's nothing wrong with that, and that would only be asim midrabanan. It would not be over at a loisisa deraisa. Loisisa is an asmachta, and over here we did it l'shach v'haidah, it would not be a problem. Only be an isa derabanan. However, if you say Hashem Hashem, not b'derech shvach v'haidah, l'kuliyama, you're over at least an asay deraisa of Hashem Hashem l'kecha tira, that you should fear the Hashem Hashem. And therefore, if you say Hashem's name in vain, you're definitely over an asay deraisa. According to the Rambam, you're over also a loisa say of loisisa. If you make a bracha levat shenetricha, according to the Rambam, you're over a lois essay. And according to others, you're only over an isidar abonim. One should be careful not to make a bracha shenetricha. The Bir Halacha speaks out that if there is a shita that holds that what you did was correct, then we don't consider it a bracha shenetricha, and there will not be an isidar loisisa, and then you would answer amen on that bracha, because it's no longer a bracha shenetricha. So he says that you're not mechuyev to answer amin since the person did the wrong thing, but you're allowed to answer amin. The example the Bir Halacha brings down, someone says a baruch nefashah, she says baruch atah Hashem chei olamim. We say baruch chei olamim. If he says baruch atah Hashem chei olamim, you're not mechuyev to answer amin because he said shem Hashem for no reason, but you're allowed to answer amin. The example we gave in the shir was someone who was eating a suda and they make a baruch mezaynus on a piece of cake. Even though the minhag is not to make a baruch on a piece of cake because there's a chance that a piece of cake is considered like pas, and therefore it does not require a bracha. If someone by mistake made that bracha, you're not mechuyev to answer amen, but you're allowed to answer amen because there are shitas that would say that it is definitely passive baba kisnin, and therefore it would require a bracha of mezainis, so you would be allowed to answer amen if someone makes a mezainis on a piece of cake. In Simon Reish Tez Zayin, it was Dine Birchas Arech. Over there, the Mechaber told us it's usher to benefit from a good smell without making a bracha. And this is brought down from a pasuk, the chsiv kol, it's a asmachta, kol ha-neshama tahalaka. When the neshama gets pleasure, we also make a bracha. And there are all different types of brachas. The bracha is over la-siyas, and before you smell. If someone wants to know if the besamim smells well, they say b'shem Ramosha that he would take a sniff before b'derech te'ima, kaviyach, sort of like te'ima. And he would take a small little sniff to see if it had a smell, and then he would know that he wouldn't make a bracha levatala. Otherwise, if you're going to make a bracha not knowing if it smells, and you're going to sniff it and it doesn't smell, that could be a bracha levatala. The Mishnah Berurah spoke out that we do not make a bracha before we hear a beautiful koil, a nice voice, or before rechitza. We don't make before a nice voice because it's aimed by mamish. The thing that you're making a bracha on has to have chashivas, has to have mamashas. So when you're making a bracha on the smell, it's the smell of something which has mamashas. A reach she'ein lo iker does not get a bracha. So a koel does not have an ikur. It's just the sound of the wind coming out of your voice, out of your windpipe. So therefore, there's no bracha on koel, and rechitza does not get a bracha because it's not nichnas leguf. It just goes on the outside. There's no bracha on the rechitza. Sif Bei started discussing the different types of brachas. There's barei atze b'samim, which are things that are from trees. Barei isve b'samim, from grasses. There's bari mina b'samim, things that are not from trees or grasses. And there is asher nasa reach toi b'peres, the way the Mishnah Berurah brings it down, nasa reach toi b'peres, for fruits. Now, fruits, you only make a bracha if you took it in your hand to smell. That we'll discuss more. We just like touched on the beginning of Birchas HaReach. We'll discuss that more next week. One halacha which we ended off with was what the bracha, the kosher status of gelatin. And that was because the Mishnah Berurah speaks about the musk. And it says that musk comes from the blood of v'chaya, and it gets turned into afra ba'alma. Many poskim say that it's mutar ba'achila now, even though it came from dam. And one of the main heterim that Reb Chaim Moser in the Shailos Teshuvos Achiezer writes to be makel on the gelatin of the early 1900s was that even though it's made from the bones of a cow, it's from the collagen in the bones of a cow, it is soaked in hydrochloric acid and sulfur, and it becomes inedible, and now it's panim chadashes bo lakan, and therefore, just like the musk is panim chadashes bo lakan, and you're allowed to eat it, so too the gelatin would be mutar ba'achila. That was Rechaim Moshe's svara, one of his svaras. The other svara was that bones are mutar ba'achila based on Yeridea Simen Tzadik Tes. Nowadays, Rav Lezer Silver and Rav Moshe was quoted also saying Rechaim Moshe would agree that we can no longer eat the gelatin that's made from the skins of cows and from the skins of chazerim, from poor side, and therefore is in America considered to be non-kosher. There is, they do have kosher gelatin these days from kosher shechted animals. They have fish gelatin in your marshmallows. That's kosher these days. There is in Eretz Yisrael, the Rabbanut over there does have kosher la'ochle gelatin, where they'll use non-kosher gelatin, but it will say kosher la'ochle gelatin. But all the hashem in America consider gelatin to be non-kosher, and being that that's the case, and this was a big tumult about this in the 1950s with Reb Nachum Tzvi Kornmill from the Barton's Candy Company in Albany. He was a mashgiach, and he wrote letters, and he wrote his own sefer. I forgot what it's called. Maybe Teferis Tzvi. I don't remember what it's called. And he wrote letters to Reb Moshe and to Reb Aaron about this, and they're printed in their tshuvas. And now, what's most nageya is in medications. There are medications that are gel caps, soft gels, and hard gel caps. And they do have gelatin that 90% of the time comes from porcine, from pigs, from chazerim, which is considered treif. And when or if, are you allowed to take them or not? In general, the klal is someone's a chayla she'ein bo sakana, which means they're nafal a mishkav or chala kol gufay, their entire guf is not well. Difficult to explain the exact gedder right now in this year. Maybe a different time we'll discuss it more in depth. Then they can swallow a pill. It's achila shaloi kedarkei for achila shein basakana, that would be okay. If someone is just a meichas, just have a headache and they're not feeling so well, but not to the point of achila shein basakana, then it pashtus would be shver to take a gel cap because there's treifas in there. It comes from the skin of a pig. That's the general halacha. Obviously, it's much more detailed than that. If it's nageh to someone, ask a shayla. Anyways, we'll stop over here. That's the chazara for this week. We went through Reish Gimel, Reish Dal, Reish Tezvav. We started Reish Tezayin, a little Birchas HaReach, a little Brachas HaNetzricha, a little bit about answering Amen, a little bit about microphones and telephones, and a little bit about being mighty others with brachas. Wishing everyone a good vach. See you tomorrow.